This is Vermont Edition, a production of Vermont Public Radio. This program is made possible by the support of listeners like you. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Early this winter, a scandalous allegation surfaced that a Rutland police officer had viewed child pornography on his work computer. An investigation into the case continues and no charges have been filed, but the circumstances have raised serious questions about the Rutland Police Department, the police chief, and the system that's in place to oversee them. Yesterday afternoon, the police commission held another in a string of public hearings on the issue and was in the position of defending itself. Commission member Scott Holmquist expressed his support for the police force, and another member, Mary Nemeth, says she's committed to showing the city that the commission is doing a good job for Rutland. Here's an excerpt from their comments at yesterday's meeting.
I'm certainly concerned about the police officers, and it's got to be tough out there right now to be a police officer in the city of Rutland. And I would certainly hope that the public would hold back comments, that they do not stereotype. I do believe that we have a very good department, and I think we have very good officers.
There's stuff that we learn as individuals every single day, and that we build those relationships, get rid of the perceptions that are there, and act on fact and not on emotion. And our job is to serve this community, not as politicians, but as members of a commission who look at the facts, understand the facts, deal with them, no matter how hard that is or how easy that is, but really look at that first and then make our decisions.
Those were Rutland Police Commission members Scott Holmquist and Mary Nemeth speaking at yesterday's public hearing in Rutland. But at least one citizen, Tracy Pena, wasn't soothed by their statements. She argued that there hasn't been leadership in solving the problems at the police department, and she questioned whether the police commission was really working in the best interests of the citizens. Here's an excerpt from her comments.
But you don't think it's not political when the mayor handpicks you? I asked Friday night at the meeting, and I didn't get a clear answer. I said, how do you become a police commissioner? Nobody answered that question. How do you get chosen? Are you a friend of the mayor? Are you a neighbor of the mayor? Are you a golfing buddy of the mayor? I mean, what are your guys' backgrounds? Do you have a legal background, a police background? What gives you the authority as five people to make decisions? What's the best for people like me?
Rutland Mayor Chris Loras has defended the commission's right and ability to make decisions about the police department, but he faces questions about his own leadership. Mayor Loras joins us today from VPR's studio at PEG TV in Rutland to talk about this and other issues facing the city. Mayor Loras, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the mayor appoints the five members of the police commission. Can you explain briefly how oversight of the police department works in Rutland?
Well, the oversight of the police department works in accordance with the Vermont state statutes through the Rutland City Charter. So in 1988, there was no police commission. And during the mid-80s, there was a great deal of turmoil in the city of Rutland. I went and read the minutes of the Board of Aldermen meetings from the mid-80s and also went to the Rutland City Library and looked at old reports in the Rutland Herald, and it was clear that during the 80s, especially, well, during the mid-80s, that we had a city in turmoil. There were allegations of embezzlement. There were lawsuits. The then police chief was suing the city of Rutland and vice versa. There was a great deal of acrimony between the mayor, the police chief, and the members of the Board of Aldermen. And it got to the point where you could not open up the paper on a daily basis and not see something written that was not becoming about the police department. The residents at that point said, enough. We want to take the politics and the politicians out of the management of the police department, and by a 2-to-1 margin, instituted a police commission, an apolitical board that would not be beholden to either the mayor or the Board of Aldermen and would act in the best interest of the taxpayers as a lay board.
We just heard a moment ago the frustration in the voice of Tracy Pena, and her criticism is that the commission members aren't, in fact, accountable enough to the public. How do you answer that?
My answer to that is I think by design they're not necessarily supposed to be accountable to the public. That's the way it was set up by the residents, as I said, by a 2-to-1 margin in 1988. And as far as individuals being named to the police commission in accordance with the charter, the mayor makes the appointment and the board of aldermen approves the appointment. And it should be noted that last year in 2009, two members of the police commission, one you heard speaking, Mr. Holmquist, and the other, Mr. Ebbinghausen, who is also the chair of the police commission, both were approved by the board of aldermen by an 11-0 margin. And this was last year in 2009, during a time which there was also a fair degree of acrimony between the police commission and the board of aldermen as well.
So in other words, you're saying the board of aldermen bears some responsibility for having approved the appointment of the commission that it now has no confidence in?
Well, I certainly, if you qualify as one that they say they now has no confidence in, but they certainly bear responsibility and had the authority to either approve or reject any member of the police commission that's put forth by the mayor. And it should also be noted that these two who got 11-0 votes by the Board of Aldermen last year in 2009 were previously seated members of the police commission and were originally appointed by my predecessor, Mayor Casarino. So these people, you know, had the experience, background, and the confidence of the board where they made it through appointment processes of two different mayoral administrations. So for anyone to contend that I, you know, handpicked friends, golfing buddies, et cetera, is delusional.
Are there any requirements or prerequisites for somebody who wants to be on the police commission?
No, just a willingness to serve, and the Board of Aldermen require resumes of individuals for any appointment to city boards and commissions. And the Board of Aldermen then reviews those and determines whether or not they feel the person holds the proper credentials to be the board member or chair. It should be noted that the previous chairwoman of the commission, who was sitting on the commission until her recent death, was Joan Loring Wing, who is most assuredly was before her death one of the highest regarded mediators in the state, and was frankly one of the best lawyers in the Rutland region. So there are lay people on the board, rather on the commission, but that has no bearing. It really is about a willingness to serve and the ability to actually understand the issues and make the right decisions.
We're talking today with Rutland Mayor Chris Loris. If you have a question for him, you can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can send an email to vermontedition@vpr.net. Mayor, the Board of Aldermen unanimously agreed this week that they have no confidence in Rutland Police Chief Anthony Bossi or in the police commission that has the authority to make firing decisions for the chief of police, as we've just discussed. Do you disagree with their position?
I'm not going to say whether I agree or disagree with the position, and I'm hoping I'm not being flip or looking like I'm dodging the question, but frankly, I have the highest regard for the law. The highest regard for the Rutland City Charter, which is the law. And the charter plainly states who is in charge of the administration of the police department, and it most assuredly is not the Board of Aldermen. I respect the process. I respect the rule of law. And frankly, the fact that the taxpayers, the residents of the city of Rutland, want an apolitical board making these decisions should be respected. And even though the Board of Aldermen is displaying a sense of frustration over the process, I think, frankly, they're overstepping their bounds in accordance with the charter to no small degree. That, you know, I need to qualify that remark by saying that the allegations of misconduct within the police department has angered and outraged most of the taxpayers, most of the residents of the city of Rutland, myself included. But we need to let the process work its way through the system with respect to the criminal charges, if they're brought, the criminal investigation that is currently ongoing. And I have total faith in the police commission that ultimately they'll do the right thing, and as will the police chief. But I think the board needs to step back, get a sense of perspective, as I had said before, understand the history and how we arrived at a police commission, and allow the process to work. That's all I'm going to say, you know, about that issue and about the police chief.
Well, we got an email from Dan and Cindy who live in Rutland, and they say, as the mayor of Rutland City, we believe it's your job to uphold the integrity of the city. Why are you reluctant to take a harder stance against Chief Bossie's lack of management within his department?
That specific question is based on a premise which may or may not be factual, that the chief is mismanaging his department. The police commission are the ones that are charged to determine whether or not he's managing or not managing the police department properly. And I have the utmost confidence in the police commission that they're going to do that job. And if I thought otherwise, I would find other people to sit on the police commission. But I have no reason to do that at this time. Certainly I am the guy, you know, as I'd characterize it, in the North office. And I am mayor of the city, and ultimately everything falls in my lap, good and bad. But again, I have the respect for the process, and it needs to work itself out with respect to this specific issue. And if the commissioners are found wanting, then there's the process in place to have them replaced.
This pornography case that is ongoing right now is the third investigation into pornography charges in 6 years that affect the police department. Why isn't that bad leadership?
Well, one of those issues, as has been said, happened in 2004, and all indications are that was dealt with properly at the time. I had no knowledge of it. When I was a member of the Board of Aldermen in 2004, it was handled internally by the police commission and the then mayor and city attorney. And as far as the other two issues, one is an ongoing investigation, and the second one was taken care of in the last couple of months. And so you had one in 2004 and two late in 2009. The administration and the police administration, as well as with the support of the police commission, is taking steps to ensure this doesn't happen again. They have just received, through a Department of Justice grant, monies for upgraded computer systems, and part of that is going to be a computer software system for monitoring where people go online within the police department. It's in place in a couple other departments that have had similar issues throughout the state. And as I said, we need to let the current administration, through the police chief and his staff, and more importantly, the police commission, ensure that steps are taken to address these concerns and make sure it doesn't happen again.
But when you say make sure it doesn't happen again, this is the third case. So I think you can see that a lot of residents are frustrated that you say won't happen again, but then, you know, it does seem to keep happening. This is the third incident.
And I think that is a case that will be taken care of through the software. And frankly, I've made it very, very clear publicly through reporting in the Herald and as I've been out in the public, that my personal position is that the real issue shouldn't be taken care of through monitoring. It should be taken care of through disciplinary action. And my position is clear to all that I feel if individuals knowingly view pornography on city-owned computers on city time, then those individuals should be discharged. So as I said, I think the issue will take care of itself going forward, both in the police department and throughout the rest of city government, if it turns out to be an issue.
Again, we're talking today with Rutland Mayor Chris Loris. Our phone number, if you have a question for the mayor, is 1-800-639-2211, 1-800-639-2211, and our email address is vermontedition@vpr.net. Mayor Lewis, you mentioned a moment ago that the case in 2004, which I'll mention was a non-criminal case, was dealt with internally. In this case, the commission, the police commission, wasn't informed of any criminal investigation until February, despite the fact that the investigation had been launched in August of 2009. How concerned are you about the lack of communication between the police commission and the police department?
Well, I think that goes back to, if you're going to talk about that specific issue, I think we need to talk about that specific issue. And a lot of the questions you asked, frankly, are more appropriate for the Attorney General and the Vermont State Police, who are conducting that criminal investigation. For some reason that we haven't had an explanation for, frankly, a judge in another county sealed that search warrant. And in sealing the search warrant, he said this is a secret, and he wouldn't even let Judge Zane know that there was a sealed warrant here in Judge Zane's jurisdiction. So for whatever reason, that judge, the Attorney General and Vermont State Police, felt it was very important to keep this investigation and knowledge of this investigation very, very close hold.
But Chief Bossie knew about the investigation. Are you saying he couldn't tell the commission?
That's what Chief Bossie has contended, and that's what the city attorney, frankly, the city of Rutland agrees with. That's what the attorney general agrees with, and that's what the people investigating the Vermont State Police agree with, is that he could not tell anyone.
Now, you know, you're in an interesting position here as the mayor. You are the leader of the city. You have to answer to your constituents, but you're not really able to directly solve this situation. You don't have the ability to fire the police chief, for example. The police commission does. So are you comfortable with the situation that you're in right now?
Yes and no. I'm very comfortable with the charter that the residents had put it in place to have an autonomous, apolitical body in charge of the police department. And though at the same time, it does give me pause that I have no direct influence as the chief executive officer of the city. So if the Board of Aldermen is going to go down the road of stripping the police commission of its authority in this matter, which is apparent they may be trying to do, then just as with other departments throughout city government, I'm going to contend that the day-to-day oversight needs to be vested first with the department head and then with the mayor. I don't see a body that meets every 2 weeks as a member, as the Board of Aldermen, who is responsible to the taxpayers, having effective authority over the police department. Now, the police commission, on the other hand, which meets now every 2 weeks or once a month, is able to do it because they are insulated from the public. And as you heard Mary Nemeth saying during her comments at the beginning, they look at things based on facts, not emotion and not on popular decisions at the time. And I think that's really what we need to have in the police commission is a group of individuals that are looking at what's best for the taxpayers from a very factual and not emotional standpoint. And if the ability to run the police department comes back to either the mayor and or the Board of Aldermen, it's going to change that dynamic significantly. It's a task that I would most assuredly take on and be happy doing it, but it would create a whole new dynamic in dealing with the police department.
So would you rather the mayor be able to make these types of decisions?
I would rather see the police commission continue to be able to make these types of decisions. I think the taxpayers made the right choice 20 years ago. But frankly, if it's a choice between the mayor making the decisions and the Board of Aldermen making the decisions, I think it needs to rest with the mayor rather than the Board of Aldermen, with the police commission having first whack at it.
It sounds like there's a lot of tension between you as the mayor and the Board of Aldermen. Is that a relationship that is not going very well?
It depends on the specific issue. There are a number of issues that I deal with the Board of Aldermen very well on, and other issues that I do not. But that's the nature of our democracy, where you have different branches of government, and that's the way, frankly, it should be. But as far as dealing with police issues, the acrimony in the 1980s eclipses by far, exponentially, frankly, the acrimony between the mayor and the Board of Aldermen now. There was, in looking at the minutes and reading the old papers, the mayor at the time was supposed to take a trip to Japan, and he was threatening not to go because of the Board of Aldermen had named an individual to act as temporary mayor that he didn't want. And as I, you know, as I said, the acrimony now pales in comparison to the acrimony between the board and the mayor in the 80s. It's I'm not going to say an unhealthy relationship, because I think it is healthy to have spirited debate and different sides having discussions about a myriad of issues. And I think the taxpayers are better served by that than having a tyrant like me in charge if I could run the show.
We're talking today with Rutland Mayor Chris Lourdes, and we're going to continue looking at police oversight and other issues facing Rutland. We'll also be taking your calls. Our number is 1-800-639-2211, and our email address is vermontedition@vpr.net. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today we're sitting down with Rutland Mayor Chris Lourdes. Rutland has been under scrutiny lately as its police department deals with a pornography investigation involving one of its officers. The Board of Aldermen recently released a unanimous vote of no confidence in Police Chief Anthony Bossy and in the police commission that oversees him. Mayor Lourdes doesn't have the power to fire the chief of police, but he does appoint the 5-member police commission that has that power. If you have a question for Mayor Lourdes on this or other issues facing the city of Rutland, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211, 1-800-639-2211, or you can send an email to vermontedition@vpr.net. And let's go to Brian, who's calling from Montpelier but lives in Rutland. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I just had a question for the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
We're just as a citizen and taxpayer. My question was just saying that if we as the public are not satisfied with the decision that is passed on by the police commission, who do we turn to? What would our next step and due process be to come to a place of accountability for someone who has been, as I understand it, proven to have been in possession of child pornography as a paid official of the city, someone who is essentially responsible for enforcing the moral conduct of its citizens, but has chosen to act in a way that is completely outside of those moral bounds?
Well, Brian, thanks for the call. Mayor Lourdes, you know, you did mention earlier that you don't think the police commission is directly accountable to the citizens. So for Brian, who's a citizen who wants to know, where does he turn to? How do you answer him?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that question two ways, because I couldn't tell throughout Brian's question whether he wanted to know where he turns to for accountability for an officer who does something that the citizens believe is inappropriate, or where they turn to for the police commission if they feel the police commission is doing something inappropriate in not, say, firing the chief of police. It all goes back to the charter. And in accordance with the charter, 5% of the taxpayers can petition the mayor and the Board of Aldermen for a special election. So if 5% of the people want a petition to get rid of the police commission and dissolve those provisions in the charter that allow for a police commission, they can do that. It would be then ratified by the legislature. And as part of that language, they could dictate some other entity, whether it's the mayor or the Board of Aldermen, to fire the police chief. And so that would be the mechanism to take care of the issue. If they wanted to fire the police chief, would be to get rid of the charter language that's currently in place.
So that's the only way that citizens can make their voice heard if they want to fire the police chief, is get rid of the whole commission?
You asked me how specifically it would be done to affect the change that would be wanted. I would say that would be it. Otherwise, you're seeing what you're seeing right now, which is the residents, or a number of residents, don't know how many, approaching the Board of Aldermen, saying, and the Board of Aldermen, they goes with a non-binding vote of no confidence in the police commission and police chief. So I think that's what you've seen play out is that piece. And it appears that the police chief still has his job, even though the Board of Aldermen voted no confidence. So you're asking me how technically it needs to get done and actually the real mechanism to make it work. I think I described it. It's to go through the charter, through the law.
You know, it all is connected when you say who can fire a police officer. That's the role of the police chief. The police
Correct.
Chief can make personnel decisions within his department. The police commission can make personnel decisions that relate to the chief of police. You appoint the police commission. So, you know, there does seem to be some frustration that you're the top dog here. You are the leader of the city, and you've appointed this commission. And I think there's some frustration that it seems to be that you're just saying, look, it's just the charter. I have no role in this.
And you know, the key word in your – I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I'm sorry. You know, you said it's just the charter. The charter is not a just. The charter is state statute. The charter is the law. So it's not – I'm not passing the buck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving excuses. The charter is the law of the state of Vermont, and that's really what needs to be made clear. It's not just the charter. So I'm not being flip when I say that. So at the same time, you know, and frankly, in the past, before this issue came up, I have had discussions with the chief of police, and he sees himself the issue two ways. He understands the importance of the insulation that the police commission provides, but at the same time, he understands that there would be some very real benefits to having the mayor in charge of the police department as the mayor is in charge of the fire department and the public works department and the recreation department. And I see those same benefits as well, and I could argue for those benefits and say, hey, turn it all over to the mayor. There are some real benefits there. So I could argue it either way. Police commission's great. Mayoral form of government's great with respect to this. Right now, I think this issue is highlighting the importance of having a police commission because it allows people to step back, deal with things factually, not let emotions get involved, not let politics get involved. And the true issue is whether or not the police chief still has the capacity to effectively manage his department. And I believe that it's in no uncertain terms that the police commission made it clear that they feel he still has that capacity. And that's the most important piece.
Our number again, 1-800-639-2211. Bob is calling from Fairfax. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, Mayor, it seems to me like we have a little bit of esprit de corps and Stockholm syndrome here. And we also have a ponderously slow administrative process of discipline. And in Vermont, the adjudication process is ridiculously slow. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years to adjudicate an issue, and it's caused by the court. What are we going to do about all of this? I myself am frustrated that public officials cannot be disciplined more quickly than they are, and your city is a perfect example. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very, very fair question, Bob. Because I do know I was at a police commission hearing last week where they made a motion and they have had requested that both the police chief send a letter to the AG and to the Vermont State Police saying, move this criminal investigation along. We need some closure. We need to move on in the city of Rutland. And the first step is to finish up this investigation. And so they had the chief make the call, and they also sent their own letter. So the police commission also senses your frustration regarding the issue with the criminal investigation that's ongoing here in the city. The same with me, and the same with every taxpayer out there, and the same with the Board of Aldermen. So unfortunately, the AG and the Vermont State Police said, listen, the process is going to work its way out. We can't speed this up. And the wheels of justice do move at a rather slow rate sometimes, and that is a sense of frustration for everyone down here in Rutland, Bob.
Let's go to Daniel, who's calling from Rutland. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Just a couple of seeming contradictions in Commissioner's statements I'd like your opinions on. In the paper today, it said that Commissioner Nemeth states, we tried to act on not act on perception and act on fact, not emotion. Then Commissioner Calgani, if I'm getting that correct, tried to state, we put a lot of heartfelt decisions based on the best of our opinions. We tried to fight the tide. It would have been very easy for us to go with the popular belief, but we put a lot of heart and soul into the decision-making process. Ebenhauser then goes on to say, though, he had heard very little public outcry about the chief's actions. So if they've heard very little outcry, what tide are they fighting? If they've acted on fact, they're then basing it on a heartfelt decision of their opinions. So within those three commissioners, I feel we're getting a very mixed message of opinion, fact, outcry, a rising tide, but they haven't heard anything.
Well, Daniel, let's get a response from Mayor Lewis. Go ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, the tide I think they're fighting is the information that is being reported in the Rutland Herald, both in articles and the editorial staff. Also, the tide, they say, if that's their term, not mine, that they are fighting regarding emotions, was coming from the Board of Aldermen. And frankly, I cannot dispute what they have said based on what I've heard in the street. What I've heard in the street is people are very frustrated with what's going on in the police department in general. I have heard no one calling, frankly, for Tony Bossie's, Chief Bossie's head. Even yesterday, when this Tracy Pena, who was you heard earlier in the program, she even said explicitly and very clearly that she did not want the chief's head, that she did not feel that she wanted to see him be fired, but they just want the confidence restored in the police force, a public trust restored in the police chief and the police commission. And I think the police commission has made it very clear that that's the direction they're going to be going from here. So frankly, I don't see the ambiguity that you see in their comments. I think that they were very clear that they're acting on fact and with respect to what's in the best interest of the taxpayers of the city of Rutland.
Now, there are, of course, other issues facing Rutland as well. I want to make sure we get to those. Kate is calling from Rutland. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to give Mayor Lewis a chance to talk about what can be done about the chronic flooding, or what he's doing about the chronic flooding in downtown, and the vacant storefronts seem to be at least partially related to that.
Kate, thanks for the call. Mayor Lewis.
Yeah, the flooding that Kate is describing is twice in the last 2 years, in 09, then, or 08, then 09, the city's downtown has been flooded during great storm events, one 100-year event, one a 50-year event. I'm working with the delegation, the federal delegation, and with the State Buildings and General Services Commissioner, both to effect changes to the infrastructure downtown, along the West Street corridor, to ensure that that doesn't happen again. We've already taken some temporary measures working with the state to ensure that the water continues to flow down West Street and does not flood all the storefronts and basements along West Street and Center Street, Merchants Row. So
are you still working at getting merchants into those empty storefronts?
Yeah, that's one thing that's happening. A marketing study was completed this past year, and there is a reorganization effort right now going on between the Downtown Rutland Partnership and the Rutland Redevelopment Authority to effect some changes to our redevelopment efforts and community development efforts, specifically in downtown, to ensure that we get those storefronts filled up, because that is an issue, and it has not fallen on blind eyes.
Mayor Lewis, we just have a couple seconds left, but I do want to mention at town meeting day earlier this month, Rutland City residents voted by a more than 2-to-1 margin to impose 10-year term limits on the mayor and the Board of Aldermen positions. Do you think that reflects on your leadership?
No.
Why not? I mean, they just said they don't want a mayor for more than 10 years. That's not about you?
I don't think so, ma'am, because I'm not going to be serving more than 10 years. I think anybody that would serve more than 10 years in this environment probably needs to have their head examined, to be very frank. So I don't see that as an indictment on me. It would be an indictment on me if I wanted to serve more than 10 years. And frankly, I don't dispute that serving in the mayoral capacity more than 10 years may have some negative effects.
Well, Mayor Lewis, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show today. We really appreciate it.
and I thank you.
Rutland Mayor Chris Louris joined us from VPR's studio at PEG TV in Rutland. Coming up, reporter Candace Page puts the recent EPA decision to rethink Vermont's Lake Champlain management goals into national context. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last week, we learned that the Environmental Protection Agency is reconsidering its approval of cleanup goals for Lake Champlain. The goals were approved in 2002, but pollution levels have not declined. Candace Page is an environmental reporter for the Burlington Free Press, and she joins us now to explain the context of this decision. Hi, Candy.
Hi, Jane. Great to be back.
So explain to us what critique the EPA had of Vermont's management goals for Lake Champlain.
Well, it doesn't have a detailed critique yet, in part because this has arisen from a lawsuit. The Conservation Law Foundation sued the EPA to reconsider this pollution budget for Lake Champlain, saying that it was flawed from the start and, in fact, won't clean up the lake. The EPA in court has said that rather than seeing the lawsuit out to its end, trying it, that they are willing to begin a reconsideration just as a, you know, they're willing to volunteer to do that. They said one reason is that this pollution budget, which is formerly called a TMDL, I'm sorry to say, I won't even explain the acronym, it's due to be reopened and reconsidered in 2013. In any case, it is true that pollution levels haven't declined, which raises a question, at least, whether we're going down the right path. So the EPA said they're willing to take another look.
Lake Champlain isn't, in fact, the only water body that the EPA is paying more attention to right now. Where else are they looking?
Well, you know, I think Vermont should not feel that we're doing something wrong because the EPA is taking another look here, because the EPA is really bearing down. Since the Obama administration came in, they're really bearing down on water quality. I was just reading today, the EPA is trying to hold Florida to much tougher water quality standards, and the state of Florida is battling them. People down there, towns and industrial sites don't want to meet the kind of standards that the EPA is imposing. And in the last year and a half, the EPA has told the six states and the District of Columbia that surround the Chesapeake Bay that they've spent 25 years saying that they were cleaning up Chesapeake Bay. It's only gotten worse. The EPA is about to adopt a new TMDL, I think, for Chesapeake Bay, and they're going to give the states a timeline for starting to stem the pollution, and there allegedly, anyway, will be penalties if the states don't step up. So Vermont is not alone here in coming under new scrutiny from the EPA.
Now, you mentioned that this new scrutiny from the EPA really started when the Obama administration came to the White House. Is that a coincidence, or do you think that this is a real policy shift from the Bush administration?
I think it's a little of both. In the case of Florida, as in the case of Vermont, the EPA is acting in part because their lawsuits were filed. On the other hand, the EPA has chosen, in Vermont's case, to take this step, and certainly in the case of Chesapeake Bay, this was a decision by the Obama administration that I think is at least incrementally different from the Bush administration, that it's time to get more serious about the new water quality problems that we face in this country. You know, if we can digress for just a minute, mm-hmm. When the Clean Water Act was passed, this was when, you know, the Cuyahoga River in Ohio was on fire. When we talked about water quality and polluted water, we meant industrial chemicals and heavy metals, and, you know, we were using our rivers as sewers. So we built sewage treatment plants. We told industry it had to clean up. And in fact, some bodies of water got a lot better. Lake Erie, for one, you know, which was considered dead, really came back to life. Now we're seeing a new generation of problems that are much more difficult to solve, and that is non-point source pollution that puts nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen, which are fertilizers, into water bodies where they, as we've seen in Vermont, we've seen in Lake Champlain, they feed weeds, they feed algae blooms, and it's not as simple as turning off a pipe or building a sewage treatment plant.
As a reporter who's covered environmental issues in this area for many years, I'm sure you have heard the the debate going back and forth and the questioning about whether we can ever get Lake Champlain cleaned up, and maybe this is just hopeless and a futile effort. Do you hear people saying that now? I mean, where are we going with this plan to get this water body clean?
Well, of course, it isn't futile. There are people who are discouraged, and there are people who maybe don't believe we should be investing in the environmental quality, who say, oh, we've thrown good money after bad. And I think that that is, would be an unfair accusation. You know, we have to remember that we've been putting phosphorus in Lake Champlain since we started clearing land here in the 1700s. So it's not surprising that this is not something like a light bulb that you can turn off and on. And, you know, two things have to happen. We have to stop putting new phosphorus on our lawns, in our rivers, on farmland. We're not going to stop, but we need to do less. We need to have systems to control, to keep the phosphorus that we do put in the environment out of rivers and lakes. And then, even once we are able to do that, we're going to have the problem that we have in St. Albans Bay, where phosphorus has been sequestered in the sediments of the bay, and they get released every year. So even if we shut the pipe off completely, the problem wouldn't be solved. And I think that's why some people get discouraged. But what's the alternative? To throw up our hands and say, well, you know, we're going to give up on Lake Champlain? I don't know anybody who really is ready to give up on Lake Champlain.
So, Candy, what comes next then as far as the EPA looking at our management goals for Lake Champlain?
Well, the first thing that happens is some legal negotiations. What happened earlier this month was the EPA told the federal court in Burlington that they wanted a month to negotiate with CLF and with the state of Vermont to see if they could come up with a formal agreement for how the EPA will do this reconsideration of the pollution goals for Lake Champlain. And if they can reach that agreement, it would become an order of the court. And then the EPA would have to start asking some questions. Did we set that goal correctly to begin with? Some things have changed since 2002. In fact, the 2002 plan was based on numbers that went back to 1991. And some things have changed since then. For one thing, it's a lot rainier. The more rain we have, the more water runs off the land, the more phosphorus that gets into Lake Champlain. So do we need to rethink that? And then they could also choose to look at the balance. Are we asking for enough from sewage treatment plants, given that we're having such a hard time controlling non-point pollution? So we don't know where this will go, but that's what will be happening in the next month.
Candace Page covers the environment and environmental policy for the Burlington Free Press. Thanks, Candy.
Thank you, Jane. It was great to be here.
And you can find all of VPR's reporting on the EPA decision to reevaluate Lake Champlain cleanup goals at vpr.net. Thanks for listening. We welcome feedback and suggestions for Vermont Edition. Contact us anytime at vpr.net.